If I were to challenge you to bring to mind an event in the Bible when God brings or grants us the Holy Spirit, or grants God's people with the Holy Spirit, the chances are that you'd mention Pentecost, that you'd talk about Acts chapter 2, that wonderful passage where we know that we have a dramatic account of the Spirit coming like rushing wind, tongues of fire, a miracle of communication in other languages. And yes, you would be quite right. And you would probably say to me, Simon, you're being a fool again. But then I would remind you that you were the ones who were just talking to a puppet. So that's okay. Yes, it's not Pentecost for another 2 weeks. It's not Pentecost Sunday today. Pentecost Sunday is May the 19th. So why on earth are we thinking about the Holy Spirit? Why on earth are we thinking about Pentecost today? Well, the truth is that there are a number of other places in Scripture where we read that the Holy Spirit falls upon people, falls upon persons. At passages like John's Gospel, chapter 20, where Jesus meets with doubting Thomas and his pals. And we read those wonderful, powerful words. Jesus breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And on each of those wonderful occasions, something very unique and very significant is happening. Well, today, Alex has read for us details of one of those events. A very significant event for you and for me. For the emphasis on our reading today, the details from Acts chapter 10, is that the Holy Spirit is given for the first time to non-Jewish people. That's you and me. Ooh. For the very first time, non-Jewish people are being blessed by God with the wonder of the Holy Spirit. It's an event often called the Gentile Pentecost. Wow, are you excited? Yeah, you don't look it, I've got to tell you, but never mind. The Gentile Pentecost. Something so wonderful and amazing. And we read that while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. Peter was speaking. In fact, to be more precise, Peter was preaching a sermon. And we need to ask, what was he saying? And secondly, who was in the congregation on that glorious day? Let's set the scene. If you look back in Acts chapter 10, you'll see that our text is the last scene in a dramatic story involving a godly man whose name was Cornelius. Any Corneliuses in church today? Oh, that's a surprise. Yeah. Cornelius was a Roman centurion, a man of standing. But he was a non-Jewish person. He was a Gentile. But nonetheless, he was a devout man, we'll read. He was a good man. He was a man who prayed. He was a man who gave what he could to the poor. And God grants Cornelius a vision. And he tells him in this vision that there's someone called Peter that God would like Cornelius to meet. Now, at the same time, quite separately, God grants Peter a vision. And this is a vision where Peter sees all sorts of animals coming down from heaven, And he is told in the vision that he could eat these animals now. And of course, Peter objects. Peter is a faithful Jew, and he wasn't to eat unclean animals. That wasn't his custom. But in the vision, God tells him, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. Do not call anything that God has made unclean. So eventually, the dots get joined up. The dots get connected. And Peter ends up at Cornelius' house, where Cornelius has gathered together an assembly of friends and family. And it's there that they invite Peter to talk with them, to share with them the word of God. The scene is set, and Peter speaks to them. And he speaks especially concerning the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus, and that there is forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Be clear about that. He doesn't talk to them about just casual things. Peter preaches a sermon about the richness and the wonder and salvation through a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's as Peter is speaking those words to Cornelius and his family and friends, all of them Gentiles, that the Holy Spirit descends upon them. And they begin to speak in tongues and to praise God. This is the most wonderful, spectacular event, the Gentile Pentecost. As Peter preached the word, especially the word about Jesus, and more specifically about his death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit descends upon the people. What's your reaction? How do you feel about that? What do you think about these amazing verses? You know, those who had come along with Peter, his pals, they were astounded. They were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, even on that mucky lot over there. Goodness gracious, formerly unclean people that they wouldn't even have sat at table with, leave alone worship with, are now receiving the very Spirit of the Lord. Oh, wow. How would you have felt? How would you like it? You know, it's a bit like a Tottenham supporter enthusing that Arsenal are going to win the league. Dear friends, if you look closely in the New Testament, you will find that that astonishment continues. It continues right through the New Testament as the early church tries to work out how Gentile Christians relate to Jewish Christians. And perhaps we as modern people will think, well, why on earth did it take them so long to work out something which seems so fundamental to the gospel? But just imagine for a moment. Imagine for a few minutes. Remember into your childhood days. You got a good memory? Yeah, remember when you were knee-high to a gnat, you know, when you were little. And you're at home with your parents or your carers. There you are. But there's a family that live across the road to you that you're a bit suspicious about. You know those ones that look round the curtains every now and then, make you feel a bit twitchy? Maybe, you know, you don't like the look of them. You wouldn't want to go play with them. You're suspicious about them. And you've certainly never interacted with them socially or anything of that nature. And there you are, sitting at home with your mum and dad enjoying your lunch. And just as you're tucking into your sausage and mash, your mum and dad announce that they're going to adopt that family across the road. Those children who live opposite you now, they're going to call your parents mum and dad too. Wow. And those youngsters are going to share in your inheritance. Wow. Those youngsters are going to have the same benefits and the same blessings as you. Wow. How do you feel now? And if we're honest, for most people, that would be hard to come to terms with. And if we acknowledge this part of Scripture in those terms, well, perhaps we can understand just a little bit of the early church's misgivings. Our text today is perhaps the key moment for Peter, where God teaches him that the gospel really is for all people, no matter who they are, no matter where they are, or where they're from. And thank God for it. Because don't forget, we are those people. In this part of Scripture, the person sitting in your seat is assured that we are loved by God and worthy of a place in his kingdom as he anoints us with the Holy Spirit. Do you feel good now? This text is our Pentecost. The moment God makes clear that people like you and people like me are welcomed into his family. He holds us dear. Elsewhere in Scripture, the Apostle Paul speaks about it. He calls it the great mystery of Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Amen. Scripture presents us with a wide variety of how, when, and in what order the Spirit comes to people. And it reminds us that we need to be very, very careful about boxing God in any way. We must take care not to be Mr. Grumpy. Yeah, well. Jesus himself said in John chapter 3, the Spirit blows where he wills, no matter what our preference might be. And we cannot and we must not try to limit the impact of the Holy Spirit upon God's people today. You know, one of the joyous results of this Gentile Pentecost is summed up in the final line that Alex has read so beautifully for us today. And Alex read that they invited Peter to stay for a few days. They invited Peter to stay for a few days. You know what that meant? That meant cake. Yeah. That meant refreshments. The result of this is hospitality, genuine community and fellowship and relationship. Peter doesn't just do his thing and then get on his bike and go home. He doesn't rush back to Jerusalem saying, oh, that was weird. I hope God doesn't make a habit of it. Oh, no, friends, be clear. The Spirit of God transforms relationships. And Peter now stays with them. He stays with this Gentile people. He has fellowship with them. He eats and he drinks with them. He shares life with them in community. And in fact, if we read further on in the next chapter, it's that Peter is challenged about in Jerusalem. It's that they ask him about. How on earth could you eat and drink with them? Why were you associating with these other people? Tut, tut, whatever next. This is radical change in the early church and indeed in the ancient world. But what about us? What about our church in the modern day? Are we encouraged or are we challenged by this Gentile Pentecost? Could it be that there are people about whom we might say, oh, it's wonderful that God has given them and anoints them with his Spirit and welcomes them into his family, but, well, really, we wouldn't want to sit with them. We wouldn't want to share with them. I mean, that's something of a bridge too far, isn't it? Don't you know? Are we tempted to hold God's blessings to ourselves and try to withhold it from others? Are there people that we'd rather hold at arm's length? Oh, friends, we are called to revel in the Spirit and share its blessings. You know, that might mean dancing up and down the aisles when you're ready. It certainly means radiating the love of God and being ready to share his love with each and every one, irrespective of who they are or where they're from. And be very careful, my friends, for that is exactly what the Spirit of God has always done, always will do, and wants us to do continuously. Are you ready for Village Day? Apparently not. Are you ready to be out there sharing lemonade? I don't drink the stuff myself, but that's... Are you ready to be engulfed by the Spirit? To work, to minister, to witness, to allow the Spirit to have his way through you, through us, reaching out to the community? Are you ready to follow the example in your work, in your ministry, in your witness? The Gentile Pentecost, detailed in Acts, is a clear indication that our Heavenly Father is an equal opportunity God who doesn't discriminate between peoples. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is available to all by God's grace. And the result is new relationships, new community, and the sharing of new life together. And the result is, can be, church growth and the spread of the gospel. Are you ready for it? Well, I'll have to wake up first. My friends, I pray that we, the family of God here in this place, will allow God to move us by the Spirit, that we may be ready to share that Spirit, to share those blessings with each and every one. And may God grant it to us and to all his peoples. Thanks be to God. Amen.